the bread of life. Jesus, you know, he declared that he was the bread of life. That's what he said in John 49. And he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And I told you last Sunday when we had to quit, I told you how that affects the Catholic Church and the Catholic Mass and what they believe. They believe every Sunday morning that they partake of his flesh and his blood. And I'm going to show you a few things on that this morning before we get on into it. Now notice, let's look at verse 54, John 6:54. Jesus said this, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, if this does, of course it don't, but I'm just going to give you some possibilities, you know. Now, if this does refer to the Mass, then every Catholic got eternal life when he went to the Mass. Well, why do they keep going back every Sunday? Amen. You see that? Now, that, you know, that's not literal. There's no way that could be literal, because if you ask a Catholic, are you saved, he'll say, well, I hope so. Or he might say, I don't know. Or he might say, you can't know till you die. Right? But according to that verse, verse 54, Jesus said, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, every Jew knew that it was forbidden for him to partake of blood. Alright, now I want to show you three dispensations where blood is prohibited, okay? I want to take you back to Genesis 9. Go back there just a minute. And I want to show you that if Jesus meant literal blood here, then Jesus might have been a sinner. We know better than that, don't we? Amen. I mean, if he'd been a sinner, man, you're the biggest fool in the world.
Right.
Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. That's on page 16 in the old Scofield Bible. I said, oh, well, not the new one. Don't fool that new Scofield Bible. It's another Catholic Bible. All right, Genesis 9, chapter 6. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for he is the image of God, made he him. And be ye fruitful, and multiply, and bring forth abundantly, and on and so forth. I notice there that blood is prohibited before the law. You see that? Man is not permitted to. Look up that verse 4. Genesis 9:4. But flesh with the life thereof, which is in the blood, therefore shall you not eat. The only way they were permitted to eat flesh was to drain the blood. Right? Blood was prohibited. That's before the law. All right, let's look at it under the law. See, dispensation didn't change this. Let's turn to Leviticus. Leviticus 17. And look at what the Bible says under the law. Leviticus 17. And that'll be on page 150. Leviticus 17, look at verse 11. Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Now listen to this. See, them Jews knew what this Bible said. They knew the Old Testament, see? And Jesus said, you shall set to eat my flesh and drink my blood. They remembered what the Levitical order said. And look at verse 12. Therefore I say unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood. See that? It was prohibited under the law. Neither shall any stranger that sojourn among you eat blood. All right, now we've seen blood was prohibited before the law. It was prohibited under the law, and let's look at it under grace. Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. I'm showing you all these things because I want to establish something this morning and show you something that's a religious practice in America today that's based on unscriptural, unbelieving Bible ignorance. Acts 15. All right, Acts 15, let's look at verse 20. We'll start there. Acts 15, 20. It's on page 1170. But you write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, and from fornication, and from things strangled, and from blood. Now, you remember, I don't have time to discuss Acts chapter 15, but you know what that was. That's the chapter where they met up in Jerusalem to settle two questions. Remember that? Any of you know what those two questions were? Is a man saved by grace? Is a man kept saved by keeping the law? They met, the council of, they met there in Acts 15, discussed those two questions. What I'm reading you is the climax of it. Now, I don't have time to get now. I'm not, what I'm trying to show you this morning. But notice verse 28, Acts 15, 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now listen to this. That you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood. You see that? Under grace. And from things strangled and from fornication, from which if you keep yourself, you shall do well, fare ye well. Now we say, you'll fare well. And you'll still fare well if you follow that order right now under grace. Okay? That's a good thing to follow. That you abstain from meats offered to idols. Alright? That's under grace. And from blood. Right? Now I don't know about you, I wouldn't be critical, but, I've seen people like a rare steak. I've seen people like a steak with all, we know, with the blood almost running out. I don't eat them kind of things. I want my, when you cook me a piece of steak, get it just before you turn it jet black, and that's when I want it. Some say, I don't like it that way. Well, to each his own, but I don't know. There's just something about blood that, the thought of it just don't appeal to me at all. But anyway, Jesus wasn't talking here about literal blood, and that's clear from the scripture itself, because blood was prohibited before the law, under the law, and under grace. Now, I've already told you what he's talking about here. We're going to discuss that this morning anyway, so I'm just going to go on through here and show you what he says. All right, look at verse 55, John 6:55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. Now listen to verse 57. There's two verses in this chapter that clear all this up where you couldn't miss it, where you couldn't misunderstand it or not get it right. Okay? Now remember, let me show you something. You listen to me now. Remember, I told you already 100 times, and I want to make it one more time. When you find something in the Bible, and you find you need to pay close attention, because God's fixing to give you an illustration that'll prove something is right or wrong. Okay? And verse 57 is going to explain what he just said in the last 5 verses. You see it? As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. You see that? Now let me ask you something. He said, like this, like God sent me and like I live because he lives, did Jesus partake of the Father's flesh and blood? Well, you know better than that. You know better than that. You see? You see, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. There's some things in the Bible that are spiritual, you have to understand. Some things are literal, you have to know how to use it. And that's what's the matter in our pulpit today. We've got a bunch of educated idiots who don't know how to use the Bible. It's like giving a 3-year-old kid a loaded .357 cock it and say, now don't shoot nobody. So he gonna kill himself, somebody else too. And that's what's going on in our church today. We got ignorant men that don't know the Bible getting up trying to instruct people in the things that are right. And that's why people come out so fouled up and so messed up, you see. I mean, a man that can't teach the Bible ought to sit down and shut up.
Amen.
I mean, a man don't know enough about the Bible to stand up and know how to use it and instruct people in it the right way, he ought to just sit down and shut up and sing a song and go home.
Amen.
Right? All right, now look at verse 57. As the living Father has sent me. And we know that's clear. John chapter 17, he said that again. He says, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Now, is that real clear? Jesus said, like I live by the Father he sent me, you're going to live the same way by me.
Amen.
You see that? Now let me put another verse right here together, make this thing real clear, because somebody's going to hear this and they ain't going to, there's probably people going to get this tape, it ain't in Bible believing church, and you're going to see, you sit there Sunday morning, you never learn nothing. Happens all over this country. You sit there and you read a little quarterly, you don't never learn nothing. You go into church stupid and you leave stupid.
Amen.
And you ain't got nobody, your preacher can't teach you nothing, your Sunday school teacher can't teach you nothing, and you won't study enough, you're too involved in the world to study yourself, so I'm going to clear this up right now, see? So I said, I don't like the way you talk. Well, I know a lot of people don't like the way I talk, but I do it anyways. Don't worry about it. Amen? I'm not going to change. All right, verse 63. Now, let me show you something. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, what does that quickening mean? He's been talking about it now for several verses. That means made alive. That means life, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, how do you get life? You get it from the Spirit, right?
Right.
Now, listen to this. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's what people don't like today.
Amen.
That's what religions don't like today. You say, preacher, in my religion, we believe you got to get baptized. The flesh profiteth nothing. Amen?
Amen.
We believe you have to take communion. The flesh profiteth nothing.
Amen.
We believe you got to talk in tongues. The flesh profiteth nothing.
Amen.
Now, what Jesus really said was this. I'll just make it real simple. Your religion, honey, ain't worth the powder and lead. Take the blow it to hell if that's all you got.
Right.
Amen. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, huh? Except you eat my flesh, you have no life in you. Right? Now listen to this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, is that confusing? I mean, you have to have a college education to put all that together. I'm glad you don't.
Amen.
Huh? See? You know what Jesus is talking about? You see? He's talking about himself. And it's the Father sent me. Which, Jesus is not here today.
Right.
He's not here. We can't see him. We can't touch him. We can't talk to him except in prayer. He's not here. But we got something just as valuable, that's co-equal here with us today. And what is it? The Word of God. Right? And that's what the world don't want. Huh? They didn't want him and they don't want his Word either. And you're going to see if we get that far this morning, you're going to see that in the next chapter. I won't get that far enough. If we do, we'll show it to you. All right, now this is explained. See? Verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven. He's talking about himself, right?
Amen.
You know? Somebody said, well, you know, you read the Bible, they laugh at it. They thought, you thought think the Bible parachuted down from heaven. No, it didn't parachute. It didn't need a parachute. It just came down, right? Huh? This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. You see that? Anything beside Jesus that you take in, just something else that'll kill you. Right? Religion is just a sure way to go to hell, is all it is. I mean, if a man not sure he's going to hell by being a drunk and a fornicator and a cusser, he can be sure he can go to hell, but it's being religious, see?
Amen.
Huh? The best way to be sure you go to hell is just be religious.
Right.
Huh? Alright, verse 58. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. What's he talking about? He's talking about himself. Right? Alright, verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue. So who's he talking to? He's talking to the religious Jews in his day, right? Huh? As he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this saying, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? Well, that's about the way they say today, you know. That's hard to believe. That's hard to accept.
Amen.
Huh? Well, that's what the truth is, you see. I mean, if he'd have said, unless you keep the Sabbath and all the law of Moses, you have no life in you. They said, boy, we got it. We're just right. Amen. You go to church this morning, you go in these religions, say, if you'll all come forward and get baptized tonight, you'll become part of the church and you're okay. They'd all come. You say, unless you trust Jesus shed blood for the payment of your sins, you'll die and go to hell. They say, I don't think you got to get baptized. I don't believe all that, yeah. Just like they do today, see? Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? Of course it did. I mean, the best way in the world to offend somebody is to disagree with their religion. You see? And every man has religion. You know, people say, well, I have my own religion. Everybody has their own religion. I mean, even the drunks and the queers and the whoremongers, they all got their religion. See, that's why they're going to hell. Verse 62, he said this, What? And if you see the Son of Man ascended up where he was before? Now, let me show you something here. Like I said, verse 63 explains the whole thing. But let me show you seven things that'll match Jesus as a person and the Word of God that are same. Okay? Now the Jesus and the Bible are co-equal. Huh? And when a man makes an attack on the Bible, he makes a personal attack on Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
Now in the next chapter we're going to see a lot of this, because I've told you already that in this chapter here, chapter 6, the discussion is on the bread of life. In chapter 7, Jesus don't declare to be the bread of life. He declares to be the water of life. And chapter 7 is the conflict where those saying that's where the action starts. You see, this bunch of Jews, they had seen the miracles and the signs that he performed. And they knew that he was something beyond the ordinary. Right? Like religions are today. And beginning with chapter 7 on through, they start to make a personal attack on him as a person. See? And they'll do you that way too. If you go out there and stand for the Word of God, in this world today, they'll make a personal attempt to attack you as a person.
Right.
Yeah. See? Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I don't want to get that. But I want to show you seven things that are alike as far as the Word of God and Jesus. And like I said, Jesus is not here today. We can't commune with him except by prayer and what he left us. But Jesus said, the words I speak, they are life. Now let me show you seven things about Jesus and the Word of God. Number one, they're both holy. Amen? And holy means separated. They're both holy. Number two, they're both truth. Right? Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. All right, so they're both truth. And something else about them, they're both light. Right? Jesus, I'm the light of the world. Right? We walk in the light, he is in the light. Walking in the light is walking in the light of what God said. Right? So they're both light. They both shed light on darkness. Alright? Both of them give life. Jesus, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And 1 Peter 1:23 said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Okay, they both give life. Alright, and something else about them. They both produced a new birth. Alright? John 3 and 1 Peter 1. They both can give the new birth. And something else about both of them. Both of them are eternal. Right? That's clear in John 1:1. They're both eternal. And the Word of God is eternal. Forever, O Lord, Thy Word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall abide forever. Amen. So they're both eternal. And something else, they're both the power of God. Christ, the power of God, the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians. And the Word of God is powerful, quick and powerful, and sharp than any two-edged sword. So there's seven things that are that you can make that are co-equal as far as Jesus and the Word of God. Okay? And that's what they are. Alright, now notice in verse 63, Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. In other words, He said, the only thing that's really profitable to a man is to believe what God said. Huh? Now you've been with us, all of you have, and you've been listening to what we said now in the last few chapters. Have you noticed the emphasis that Christ puts on Himself? And the emphasis He puts on Himself is the same thing that we can put on the Word of God today. Alright? Now, I was thinking about this. The more that I know the Bible, the more I find out about the Bible, the more value I put on the Bible.
Amen.
Now, the world doesn't put much value on this Bible, and I don't believe a lot of safety put much value on this Bible.
Right.
But to me, I'm just talking myself now, the more that I find out, and I'm still learning, I don't know it all yet, and I won't ever know it all, but the more I learn, the more I study the Bible, the more value I find in the Bible.
Amen.
You see? And I wish more people could find more value in the Bible than they could these other things. You know, some things mean more to some people than others. I know some people that land and cars and things like that mean a lot to them. To me, it don't. I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not opposed. I'm not worried about that. But I mean, to me, those things don't mean nothing. You know, the value, my values are placed on the things of God because I found out this. I'm pretty dumb. I ain't learned much in 56 years, but I've learned this, folks. The only thing that's going to ever matter thing what God said. I mean, that,
yeah.
If you got any rational sense, you'd realize that too. The only thing that matters is God. You know. I mean, nothing else, everything else is second.
Right.
You know? All right, let me get back here. All right, he said it's the flesh profiteth nothing. Right?
Right.
I mean, you know, I get sometimes a little disgusted with preachers. I've been to meetings, you know, and they'd say, we'd like to now have a Dr. Ripper Dipper come up here and tell us your song. And this is a good man. He took this little church and had about 35 people, and he built up to 150, and they owned 10 acres of land and got a school and bus ministry and all. Well, so what? Hey, success ain't godly.
Amen.
I mean, the Catholics have done a lot better than the Baptists.
Right.
Why don't we brag on them a little bit? Amen?
Right.
Well, I like somebody, when they say, here's a man that believes the King James Bible. If you say it about me, I'm happy. You know, that's all I want you to believe about me.
Amen?
Amen? But that's good enough.
That's right.
And I want to be noted for that.
Amen.
All right. Bible says that the flesh profiteth nothing. All right? All right. I want you to remember that now. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's what Jesus said. Don't get upset with me. The words I speak unto you, now here's what does profit something. Okay? The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now here's what the trouble is, verse 64. Here's the problem. But there are some of you that believe not. What's the matter? They don't believe what he said. And that's what the trouble is today.
Right.
See? That's the difference in church, people that go to church and people that believe the Bible. All right? And I said, I don't know whether I said it this week or next week, one of my broadcasts, I said this. I said there's a lot of difference in a saved person and a church member. And there's a lot of difference in a Bible believer and somebody that's just religious. And there's a lot of difference. They're not the same. Alright? But there are some of you that believe not. Alright? What if they don't believe? They don't believe what he said. You see? And he said this, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Notice there, there's foreknowledge there. You see that? He knew from the beginning who wouldn't believe him, and he knew also who should betray him. Now back in verse 44, we saw predestination. Now let me show you something that's confusing today. Notice that foreknowledge always precedes predestination. You see? Somebody said, God elected so many. No, God didn't elect nobody for nothing. Right?
That's right.
The only thing that God just knows who's going to believe and who's not, and he can predestinate on those bases.
Right.
But nothing's settled till a man decides.
Amen.
See? God ain't said, you going to hell, you going to heaven, and you ain't going, you are going, you ain't going, no such thing.
Amen.
Predestination is based on foreknowledge, and that's what we call the sovereignty of God. I believe in that.
Amen.
But nobody is predestinated for heaven or hell. The only thing the Bible said about predestination anyway, God don't say, it ain't nowhere in the Bible said nobody's predestined for heaven or hell.
Right.
The only thing he said in Romans 8:29 that you get saved, God predestinated you. In that word, that means prefix your destination to be conformed to the image of his Son. See? Amen? 34 years ago, God predestined one day I'd be like Jesus. It ain't happened yet, but it's going to. It's already fixed. Alright?
Right.
You know why God did that? Because I believed. God didn't prefix that before I did anything.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, God knew it before that, but he didn't do it. See?
Right.
You understand that? That's confusing to a lot of this junk today. These men, you know, these smart men are teaching, well, some are elected, you know. I mean, this bunch is going to make it and this bunch won't, you know. That's foolish. You know, that's ignorance.
Amen.
I mean, foreknowledge to me is clear in the Bible.
Right.
That means God foreknows. God can tell you right now what's going to happen tomorrow. I got to wait till tomorrow to find out.
Amen.
Right? Now, if I knew what was going to happen tomorrow, I could fix it today where I'd be ready for it, see? And that's what God does. And that's in that verse. It says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
Who they were that believed not and who should betray you. When Jesus picked Judas, he didn't make no mistake.
Right.
He knew when he picked him, he said, this is the man that will betray me.
Right.
Turn me over to the religious crowd to crucify him. He knew that when he done it. Amen.
Yeah.
You see, there's just a few things that you just can't surprise God.
Right.
Nothing surprises God.
Amen.
Huh? All right, verse 65. And he said, therefore, say I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given him of my Father. Now what he said back here is, he's quoted verse 44 back in the same chapter, and I told you that was the verse that had predestination in it. Then verse 65 will match verse 44. Alright? And notice that it's based on foreknowledge, and foreknowledge always precedes predestination. If you can just remember that little formula, it'll help you. And a lot of times, of course you don't hear it, you'd be surprised some of these people that believe things like that. Alright, notice verse 66. And notice chapter 6, verse 66. There's your three sixes, and look at it. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now that means he had more disciples than just the 12. Disciple means follower. They will follow him as long as he fed them. But when he said the flesh profiteth nothing, they didn't care for him. Huh?
Right.
Wasn't matter. They were too religious. All right?
Yeah.
I mean, the truth about God and the truth about man always separates unbelievers. Amen? Now, what's he done? He's told them some truth, right? He's been preaching to them now. He started back here preaching to them way back there in verse 28. He told them who he was. He told them how they didn't have life. And he said the flesh profited nothing. And they said, we don't believe like you.
Right?
We have our own belief. We worship God in our own way. Our church is good as yours. Our preacher went to college and he don't talk like you. Amen. So they went back. Alright? Alright, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. Now these are the 12 he called out. We read back in Matthew 10 and various places. He said, will you also go away? And then Peter must have understood what he was talking about, because, of course, Peter was called the outspoken one, you know, and, you know, the Catholics say he was the prince of the apostles, which he wasn't no such a thing. He might have been chief of the apostles, but he wasn't a prince. A prince is a man that had just a king and a kingdom. There wasn't no kingdom here. There wasn't no king. The kingdom hadn't been set up yet. They're just as nutty as a fruitcake. Well, that black most religious people are. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So Peter must have understood what he said. Amen. And it's amazing today how you'll find very few men that can speak out and say something right without getting ready for it. Amen. And Peter was always that kind of a fellow. When a question was asked, he could always pop up with something to say without going back and saying, if I say this, they ain't going to like this. If I say this, some of them ain't going to like. You know, and that seems like that's the way preachers are today.
Right.
I've noticed today that preachers are real careful about how they say things.
Right.
And I've noticed some that even get up and say something good and turn around and apologize for saying it.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm not lying. I mean, you know, to me, like I said, you know, a lot of people don't believe me when I say it, but you know, I have a great love for people, always have. A lot of people don't believe that, but I do. But it don't bother me to tell you what the Bible says.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'm not going to cut corners to agree or get along with nobody. I mean, I never have, and I won't start here. I don't think I will, unless I lose my mind, but Peter always had something to say. You read all through the Bible, no matter what the circumstances were, he always had something to say. And he's been criticized a lot, you know, by the Baptists. You know, they said that they criticized him, you know, about, you know, when Jesus told him the night before the crucifixion, you know, Peter said, Lord, all men might forsake you, but I'll be there with you. And Jesus said, no, Peter, you'll deny me three times before the sun comes up. But they were also reading them other disciples said the same thing. They said us likewise. You know, when Peter said, Lord, all men may forsake you, but not me, them others agreed. They said the same thing.
Right.
Now, nobody ever criticizes that, see. But I'll tell you what, when Peter got straightened out, boy, he was a real
Amen.
Go-getter for God,
wasn't
he?
Right.
I mean, a lot of things to be commended of him, not critical of him, you know. All right, so verse 63, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Now listen to verse 69. And we believe, huh? Listen. And we believe and are sure. Now wait a minute. Let's stop. Wait just a minute. If you believe, why do you doubt you're saved?
Amen.
You see that? How do these people say, well, oh, I believe, I'm saved, but you got to live it. No, no, I don't believe. You can lose it. You can mess up and lose it. Well, then, according to the Bible, that's the truth. They didn't believe.
Right.
Peace said, you see, when you believe, you don't doubt. Right?
Amen.
You listen? When you believe, you don't question. When you believe, you know, see, you're sure. So I said, how are you so sure you saved? Because I'm a believer.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, but nothing. Shut up. I mean, I believe. I'm a believer. Amen?
Amen.
And Peter said this, and we believe and are sure. Right? Right? The fruit of believing is knowing. Right? And I've said 1,000 times, I believe a fellow can be confused, and I believe he can be ignorant. But I don't believe you can be saved and doubt it. I find nowhere in the Bible where a man can be saved and doubt it. Now, he might not understand it.
Right.
Amen. But he can even do that if he wants to know it. All right? Peter says, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. What made him so sure? He believed what he heard, right? He just heard what Jesus said about himself.
Right.
And he believed it. Right?
Right?
You mean tell me you believe what the Bible says about salvation and you're not sure? I don't find but one person in the Bible that casts doubts. And that's the devil.
Right.
Jesus answered them, have not I chose you 12 and one of you is a devil? How about that? One of you is a devil. Now, I want to show you something on that just a minute. In verse 70, I don't know if we're getting further than that this morning or not, but I want to stop this minute and show you something. Now, this verse has been real controversial. A lot of people have said various things about it, but I want to try to show you a few things. And a lot of times, the way you learn what the Bible says is first get it down pat what it does not say.
Right.
Amen. Now, I want to show you, of course, this verse here, if you read these modern Bibles, they all attack this verse, you see. And the reason these new Bibles attack verses like this is to keep you from finding out the truth.
Amen.
You see that? Now, it does not say that Judas was the devil. It does not say he is the devil. It says one of you is a devil, doesn't it?
Right.
All right. And it don't say the devil's in you. Jesus didn't say the devil's in one of you. Because, let me show you when the devil entered Judas. Turn your Bible, turn to John 13. John chapter 13, it's just a few pages over, so on page 1135. And look at verse 27, John 13, 27. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. You see? It was that night before the Last Supper, before when the devil entered into Judas. You listening? And Jesus didn't say one of you is full of the devil. He didn't say one of you is the devil. He said one of you is a devil. Alright? Now we come to a question. Is there more than one devil? Huh? Is there more than one devil? Well, let's see. Let's get a few scriptures together here now. Let's look at Second Timothy. I'm going to be running back and forth to some scripture now, so stay with me or you can listen. You may not get all this. Second Timothy chapter 4. Second Timothy chapter... No, it's First Timothy. I'm the wrong book. First Timothy 4. It's on page 1276. First Timothy 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Huh? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of what? Devils. Alright, so there are devils out there putting out doctrines that don't match the faith, the Word of God, right? That's the last days. Doctrine of devils. Now, it's like this. Christ was the Son of God, right? Amen? Christ was the Son of God. Yet it says in the Bible that he might bring many sons unto glory. Right? Christ, you know what the word Christian means? Huh? You ever spell Christian? It's got Christ in it. And technically, the German word for Christian is Christi. And that means a Christ. You see? The Germans call Christians a Christ. Huh? You know what Christ means? It means anointed. Have you been anointed? According to 1 John, every Christian's anointed. Right? Alright, just thought I'd show you that now. Now, notice something else about in verse 70. Jesus said, one of you is a devil. Alright? Now look at verse 71. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Huh? Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. So he had a father and a mother, didn't he? Huh? Alright, let's see. Let me show you something else about what Jesus said about it. Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 17. John 17. John 17, verse 12. Page 1139. Listen to this. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Alright, he's called the son of Simon. Jesus called him the son of perdition. And that's the same thing Paul said. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the same thing he was called over here by Paul. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 3. On page 1272. Listen to this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Alright, the man of sin is called the son of perdition. Now take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. That's on page 1339. Revelation 1339. And look at Revelation chapter 9 and verse 11. Revelation 9:11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. That means destruction. But in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. That means destroyer. Huh? Now in the Greek, Apollyon. You notice that in the Greek? The same word in the Greek for Apollyon is the same word as son of perdition. Huh? Now, I'm going to put all this together for you in just a minute. Take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3. Genesis 3 verse 15. Genesis 3:15. Alright? And I will put enmity between thee. Who's he talking to in Genesis 3:15? Huh? Verse 14, and the Lord said unto the serpent. That's who he's talking to. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. You see that? Huh? The devil has a seed. You listen? Genesis chapter 4. Genesis 4. Stay with me. I'm going to show you something in just a minute. Put all this together for you. Genesis 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Alright? She bare Cain. Right? Have I left any of you? 1 John 3:12. 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. It's on page 1323. 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one.
Right.
Huh? You with me?
Amen.
And slew his brother, and wherefore slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother righteous. One more scripture, and I'll put it together for you. Second Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 11, page 1237. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am zealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Talking about the church. Verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, you listening? Through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now, folks, let me say something here before I tell you this.